President Trump meets Kim Jong-un.
The menace of nuclear weapons will now be removed.
Adversaries agree on a road ahead.
This is a starting point.
Process could take years.
It's a very high bar to go from here to complete verifiable, irreversible denuclearization.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Home Advisor.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Jeff Glore at the Singapore Summit.
My meeting with Chairman Kim was honest, direct, and productive.
President Trump called it a great moment in the history of the world. His historic summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un produced a statement that pledged complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Kim said now the world will see a major change. CBS News White House correspondent Major Garrett is at the summit site here in Singapore.
The letter that we're signing is very comprehensive.
President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signed a joint statement seeking a new relationship, a process to bring peace to the two Koreas, and for the North to, quote, work toward complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Mr. President, the joint statement does not talk about verifiable or irreversible denuclearization.
Yeah.
Is that a concession on the part of the United States?
No, not at all, because if you look at it, I mean, it said we are going to, let's see here, it will be gone. I don't think you can be any more plain than what we're asking.
We asked about verifying North Korean compliance.
Well, it's going to be achieved by having a lot of people there. And as we develop a certain trust, and we think we have done that.
Will those people be Americans or international?
Combinations of both.
Agency.
Combinations of both.
CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy is also here in Singapore. He looks at what is and is not spelled out in this deal.
The document runs just a bit longer than a single page. It states Kim Jong-un's, quote, firm and unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. But that term isn't more specifically defined in the document, and there are no timetables. The statement does say Secretary of State Pompeo will work with his North Korean counterpart to set up the next round of negotiations at the earliest possible date. Kim agrees to return the remains of prisoners from the Korean War, and the U.S. agrees to provide unspecified security guarantees to Kim. President Trump has already said he's suspending the joint military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea because he says they're too expensive and too provocative.
President Trump said he wants denuclearization to happen quickly, but acknowledged it could take a long time. Correspondent Ben Tracy is here with more on how the process might work.
Experts believe North Korea has enough material for up to 30 nuclear weapons. And there are more than 100 sites spread throughout the country that inspectors want to access, including Yongbyon, the nation's sprawling atomic complex about 50 miles from Pyongyang. The site covers nearly 3 square miles, containing hundreds of buildings.
The number one thing that U.S. officials would want is to physically inspect a warhead.
Melissa Hannum is an expert on the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. She says warheads would reveal valuable information about the design and advancement of North Korea's program. The U.S. wants every nuclear weapon destroyed and the parts shipped to a lab in Tennessee. That process alone could take up to 10 years.
And then you would have to search all the rest of North Korea to make sure there was nothing that they did not declare.
President Trump suggested the U.S. and North Korea might never have reached this apparent turning point if not for American Otto Warmbier. He was returned to the U.S. by North Korea last year in a coma and died soon after.
I think without Otto, this would not have happened. Something happened from that day. It was a terrible thing. It was brutal. But a lot of people started to focus on what was going on, including North Korea.
Mr. Trump said Warmbier did not die in vain. Steve?
Well, Jeff, this might not be the only Trump-Kim get-together. The president said the dictator accepted an invitation to the White House at an appropriate time. CBS News senior global affairs contributor Ian Bremmer says China got what it wanted from this summit.
The North Koreans are freezing their ICBM and nuclear tests, and the Americans are freezing our military exercises with the South Koreans. That is exactly the formations the Chinese have asked for over the course of the past year, and we've said absolutely not.
We have reaction to the events in Singapore from around the globe. First to South Korea, reporter Jason Strother is in Seoul.
Some South Koreans say they feel optimistic following the summit.
Office worker Kim Hon-ho says he hopes now talks can get underway to sign a peace treaty that would officially end the Korean War.
This is Lucy Kraft in Tokyo. Prime Minister Abe lauded what he called President Trump's leadership and effort. He said the meeting was a first step toward resolving problems such as denuclearization. And he expressed appreciation to President Trump for raising the issue of North Korea's abduction of Japanese nationals.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. The UN's nuclear watchdog applauding the deal and offering to help with any verification. But Iran is warning Kim Jong-un not to trust Donald Trump, a man, a government spokesman says, who revokes his signature while abroad. An apparent reference to Mr. Trump pulling out of that G7 communique this past weekend.
President Trump's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, suffered a heart attack. He's expected to make a full recovery. He was a key figure at the G7 summit. In Singapore, President Trump said Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau learned from the mistake of criticizing him, and he says it's going to cost Canada a lot of money. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has made a move that could affect thousands of people from Central America who come to the U.S. for protection. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Sessions overturned a ruling in the case of a Salvadoran woman who had been raped and beaten by her former husband. He says claims of domestic violence or violence from criminal gangs do not meet the threshold for seeking asylum at the U.S. border. He says the asylum statute does not provide redress for all misfortunes.
Now to Florida and the jarring end to a long armed standoff. CBS's Peter King.
It started as a domestic dispute. Orlando Police Chief John Mina says it ended with the deaths of four children.
Two of the children were his and two of the children belonged to someone else.
That person was the suspect's girlfriend who called a report he had beaten her. Mina says the gunman killed himself.
The SWAT officers found him in the closet, already deceased.
The children were aged 1, 6, 10, and 11. The gunman also shot an officer who responded to the call Sunday night. Mina says he's in critical condition but expected to live. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is out with a new look at SUV crash test results.
Kia's Sorento, Volkswagen's Atlas, and the GMC Acadia did best among the eight SUVs tested. Institute Research Director David Zuby says all three are new models.
More recently redesigned vehicles are receiving better ratings than the vehicles that are sort of legacy designs.
The two vehicles that did worst in the test, the Ford Explorer and Jeep Grand Cherokee, haven't had full updates in several years. Jeff Gilbert for CBS News, Detroit.
A consumer group is calling on the government to look into possible fire hazards on several 2011 through 2014 Kia models. It says there have been 100 complaints of fires and 200 about melted wires and other components. The vehicles were made at two separate facilities in Georgia and Alabama. That's the World News Roundup. For Jeff Glore in Singapore, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.